and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am Kayla, and I am here with my co-host,
Noah. And you know what?
What?
I would have voted for Obama a third time if I could have. You know, I just wanted to get that out there so everyone knows. I would have. Greatest president of my lifetime.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow, that's when I have my Obama pin right here.
Wow. 56th inauguration.
Sitting on my desk from January 20th, 2009, Barack Obama, 44th president, the 56th inauguration.
Wow.
It's like a one of those pin buttons.
Right, because you're probably the biggest fan of Obama that I know. So
yes, I love war criminals.
What would be the Obama, like, the fan club? Like, what would their club be like?
I don't know.
That's a one. Maybe that could be our question of the week.
You know, I'm just not a fan of anyone who is a politician. Hmm. Like, in power. But I do have an Obama pin because my brother got it for me because we thought it was funny.
It is a funny pin. His face is funny.
Yeah, and it's a fun thing to have. Like, I like to collect funny pins, but this isn't a president's podcast,
president
so.
Review. Okay, so before this episode is, if you haven't read the title, we're going to be talking about Nope, which is the new Jordan Peele movie. But, you know, as our listeners know, before we get into our episode topic, we always have to read our answers we got to last week's question of the week, because at the end of every episode, we ask our audience a question pertaining to the episode topic. So last week we talked about the new Persuasion adaption and Jane Austen adaptions. And so we ended up asking, I don't have the question up here for verbatim, but it was like, who would you cast as Mr. Darcy in a new Pride and Prejudice adaption, I believe.
Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
It's a great question.
It really is a great question. If anyone out there is not interested in this somehow, you can skip it. Use the timestamp in the description to skip ahead to the episode. But I don't know why you wouldn't want to hear this, because this is just, like, great content.
Okay, let's get to some of these answers. Sandy said on Twitter, Joe Keery for no reason other than I think it would be fun.
Hmm.
I agree. I feel like I see him more as a Bingley, though.
I feel like you've said that too about, like, almost every person we didn't cast, you know,
yeah,
because,
but
like, he's the foil, you know. Yeah, like, if they don't work for him, he works for the other one. Yeah.
Bingley is more like, I feel like, the sort of fun, happy, smiley, like, goofy type character. That's why I feel like some of these other people, I keep saying that, because I'm like,
well, they're, because a lot of
Joe Keery is
celebrities we
is
know,
very much a Bingley.
Or a lot of the celebrities we like, I guess, are a lot, like, they seem nice, you know, because everyone likes nice. And I think you have to have a element where you don't like him at first, like, because I don't think Joe Keery is, like, I mean, I haven't seen Spree, and I assume he's unlikable in that movie, but I feel like it'd be very hard to, like, dislike him as much as, like, you kind of would need to for him to work. I think this one, Adam Driver, from Hebrew He-Man, they've been on the podcast before on our, what was that one? Our prequel series episode. Adam Driver, I think that's a good option. Because, like, I think he does have that where you can dislike him. Well, I mean, he's already played multiple villains, and so I think that works for sure.
Yeah, I could see it. I think he's pushing too old for it, though, now.
You could make the argument that the sequel trilogy really is just a Pride and Prejudice remake, you know?
I mean, I'm sure someone out there has written Adam Driver as Darcy in a Pride and Prejudice fanfiction.
Well, because, like,
I would guarantee it.
I mean, he's a villain in the first two movies, and then, like, in the second movie, though, she, like, starts to come more around in that. And you could even say his, like, offer in the second movie is, like, Darcy's first offer that gets rejected, you know? And then in the second movie, this is just a really long theory I have, but I think he would work if maybe it was, like, 5 years ago. Maybe not anymore. but you're right.
Yeah, I think he's just too old now because he's like almost 40.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think that is too old.
Which might be, is that book accurate though? Because I feel like, how old is he in the book? Because I feel like Jane Austen characters in the book are always older than they are in the movies.
Mr. Darcy.
Live?
Fitzwilliam Darcy is a wealthy 28-year-old man.
Oh, okay. I was just completely wrong. That's fine. Yeah, you're right. He would be too old, I think. Even in a film adaption, for sure, no matter what.
Yeah, so we definitely need someone who's around that age. Let's see. Jacob also said Aaron Taylor Johnson, who I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, I just feel like he's not a leading man. I don't get the draw. Either. You know, he definitely is like a character actor.
Yeah. He could play Wickham. Like, I could see him in the movie, I could see but maybe him in not the movie, as the leading sure. man. Like,
I could also see Will Poulter, which is her other option here that she gave, Will Poulter. You know, I haven't seen Will Poulter really in anything recently, but, like, I do think he's able to play more standoffish for sure.
And he's definitely the right age for it.
Right, yeah, definitely. It would definitely be a different take on him because I think Will Poulter is less like,
yeah,
I don't know. He just is a different type of character, but he would be, it would still serve the same purpose, like the standoffishness. Sure. It would be like a more of a modern take,
I could definitely see it.
Yeah.
Joe said on Spotify, Charlie Tahan, who I had to look up.
Yeah, I don't know who this is. Oh, Charlie St. Cloud. What a throw. Is he like the kid in Charlie St. Cloud?
I think he played the little kid.
Wow.
Because that's an old movie. Because this guy's my age, so.
Okay.
But he's in the Ozark series.
Oh, okay. Got you.
Which is where I recognize him from.
But. Yeah. He's going to be in the new Scott Cooper movie.
I think cool. He's a little too young.
Yeah. How? So, yeah, he's your age at 24. Well, like you said.
But he looks baby-faced, so...
Well, and I think Darcy needs to feel older. Like, I know he's 28, but I feel like he definitely is, like, supposed to not be cool, you know? So...
Maybe if this is made in 5 to 6 years...
We can reassess.
We could see him cast in it, yeah.
Yeah, we can definitely reassess.
Mike said Penn Badgley, who is funny because he said that he's never read or seen Pride and Prejudice... But I actually think that this would work. He's the star of the Netflix show, You.
Oh, right. I do know. I know what he looks like, and that would definitely work. I think that would be a good cast.
Yeah, I think he's a little old, but I do think he looks younger than.
Yeah.
You know, like
I see interviews with him on TikTok a lot for some reason. Like I don't watch You, but some reason I get
people love him.
I get You TikTok in my For You page.
That's so funny.
It is funny. My For You page is a wild ride.
I think that would be a good casting though. I'm for that one.
Right. Yeah.
Laura from the Film Is Lit podcast said she thinks Oscar Isaac may have something to bring to this role. He's so handsome and has a soft side that would make me pine for him if I were Elizabeth Bennet.
Yes. I think, like, it's kind of, well, similar to Adam Driver, he might be a little old now. I think, like, Ex Machina era Oscar Isaac would be definitely work. But, you know, like, he can definitely he has a young, like, they can make him look younger if they need to.
I think he looks young when he played, like, Poe.
Yeah, like, that
like,
yeah,
they made him look younger in that.
Maybe it's, too, because, like, I've seen him recently. He's played a lot of more older characters. So,
yeah, he's leaning into it.
Yeah, he's leaning into the dad vibes, you know? Which, so.
But, listen, if they said that Oscar Isaac was cast as Mr. Darcy, I wouldn't care.
No,
I would be
of
like,
course.
Great. I love it. Like,
I think it would be a great
wouldn't,
cast.
I say all this age stuff, but at the same time, I'm like, if you cast Oscar Isaac, I will throw everyone else out the window and be like, I'm fine with it.
Right. Yeah, he definitely, like, he's very likable, but I think there's movies where I've seen him where he plays unlikable well, too. Like, even in Llewyn Davis, I think he's definitely not 100% likable character. So I think, like, that would be a good example of, like, how he could play that role, too. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point.
Danny said, I don't know how to really fully pronounce this name, but Papa Esidu Sounds like it might be right. This is the actor. I haven't seen a lot of his work, but he was Kwame in I May Destroy You, and he was incredible in that. He was one of my favorite characters. And then he was also recently in Men. Like basically the only other man besides what's the other guy, Rory Kinnear. Like he was like the only other man in that movie. And he was really, I thought he did a really good job in that movie too, which is what Danny said.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with him, but I'm looking at his pictures on Google Images.
He plays it well. Like, he definitely could do it.
And he definitely, even in just in some of these pictures, like, seems like he could give off that, like, stoic type vibe, but also seems very charismatic in some of the other pictures. So
yeah, well, it's interesting because I said I've only seen him in two things. But in How I May Destroy You, he plays a lot softer of a character. And then, but in Men, his character is like a very manipulative, like a pretty awful person, truth be told. Not spoil, like he basically, because the plot hinges on he said he would kill himself if she left him. And like he's just like an awful character in that movie. So I think, like, he definitely has the range, even from the two things that I've seen him in. So I would love to see that. I would love to see him just in more things in the future anyway, because I think he was good.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with his work at all, but he looks like he would be a good Darcy. Yeah. And
his English accent is also dope. Like, it's a pretty dope. It's
a
pretty good one.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a good English accent.
That's just what we need. Wow. I'm here for it.
And
so if someone wants to cast him,
please
go for it.
And lastly, Hunter said Danny DeVito, which, you know, perfect age, perfect height, just everything. I actually think Danny DeVito would be an interesting father in some Jane Austen movie. You know, he could play like an older dad. Maybe even in the beginning, he just die, like has one scene where he dies. I don't know. He feels like he could play that well, maybe.
Yeah, I could see it.
Danny DeVito, the dying father of our hearts. Oh, man.
Yeah, those are some good options. So whoever is listening that's going to be making this new movie, maybe we just gave you some ideas.
Please. Maybe they will just have like a multiverse, Pride and Prejudice, multiple Darcys, and everyone will be in it.
Yeah, but knowing them, they're probably going to cast someone like Harry Styles.
That is a good call of who they would cast. Because British, trying to work into acting, it's like a more serious period piece movie. He would definitely audition for it. I don't know if they would cast him, but I could definitely see that being a role he would want to go for, you know?
I could see it.
Did you see that he's coming back in another Marvel movie?
I did see
That was tough.
I mean, he has to.
Does that mean that like Goblin, like the video game guy, Goblin looking guy, is gonna be in it too? Because that was crap. That, man, what a terrible end credit scene. But yeah, that was this segment. So at the end of this episode, we'll have another question pertaining to Nope, and then at next episode, we'll read those answers. That's how it works. So stick around to hear what that is. But we can move on to this review now. I'm going to just, what we do in all of our reviews that are newer is the first section is non-spoiler, and then we do an ad break, and then we talk spoilers. But I will say, even though the first section, this is non-spoiler, if you want to see the film with like no knowledge of anything, then you should probably just stop listening and come back after. Because like, I mean, we're not perfect too. Sometimes we like don't. But we do a pretty good job. But I think some people are really,
I think we do a good
with
job.
This movie I've seen are really like,
yeah,
big on the spoilers. But what we'll do is we just try to talk about things that are in the teasers trailers. So anything that we talk about plot wise has already been revealed, teasers and trailers. So that's what we'll go forward with, and we'll give you fair warning when we go into the spoiler territory. But do you want to read this quick synopsis I have here, just in case people don't know what Nope is about?
Yeah, sure. After their father is tragically killed by mysterious debris falling from the sky, OJ and Emerald Haywood are left as the sole owners of their family's Hollywood Horse Ranch, which is built on their legacy of their great grandfather. Unfortunately, getting work in the industry is proving difficult without their father's reputation to help them, and they are barely keeping afloat by selling some of their horses to a nearby theme park, Jupiter's Claim. However, when OJ notices what seems to be a UFO flying over the ranch, the siblings see a new opportunity to make a name for themselves and their family name.
It was a pretty hard synopsis to write because lot of stuff going in and out and weaving through in the first act, but that's pretty much what it's about, you know? And that's, again, like all trailer stuff, just will give you the setup there. So this movie, I did not know this, but this is the first movie under the 5-year production partnership that Universal signed with Monkey Paw Studios, which is Jordan Peele's production company. So they have like exclusive rights.
I didn't know that.
I don't know who did Get Out. I don't know who distributed that, but I know Universal distributed Us. But I don't know if they did Get Out, but that's interesting. And I think they're really banking on this movie. Like, they've really put a lot of effort into it. So it's obvious they have big hopes for him. And Universal doesn't have a lot of that kind of stuff. So I think that was a good move. So the movie was announced on November 9th, 2020. I remember when this happened. And he said, at the time, I guess, I don't remember this, but he said he wanted with the movie to change the way people look at the sky, which I've seen is similar. People said, like with Jaws, how Steven Spielberg wanted to change the way people looked at the ocean and swimming. So it's kind of like a thing with horror movies. They take something, you take something normal and you want to like make it scary, I guess. So which makes that's a thing. So casting wise, Kiki Palmer and Daniel Kaluuya were both announced on February 2021, and Steven Yeun was added that March. And I didn't know this, but Jesse Plemons did turn down a role in this movie to star in Killers of the Flower Moon, which I bet was tough, but I think that was a good move because I feel like he's just a great actor. So I think being in a Martin Scorsese movie is better for his career anyway. And I just don't know if he would have.
I would assume that it's Steven Yeun's role.
Yeah, that would make sense to me, I think. Because he could play that for sure, but I do think.
Because there isn't really any other character that he would have been in for, I would imagine.
I know that the tech guy's character, I forgot, Angel. I know his character was a lot different. And then when Brendan Pereira came in, they rewrote the role. So maybe he was the tech guy. Okay. But I would more guess the Steven Jupe, because that just seems like it fits. Yeah, so filming took place in the Agua Dulce Desert in northern Los Angeles County. And then they shot this on 65mm in IMAX format. The film's title revealed in July of 2021. Then there was a trailer, I think, around the Super Bowl in this February. And there was a lot of also like theories that this movie and like, well, when they revealed the title and they revealed the poster and the first trailer, like this movie did spawn a lot of theories even before it came out, which I think they capitalized. They did like an interview with the cast and they had them read fan theories. I watched it. It was a very funny video. I would definitely recommend it. They have really good chemistry, which makes me wish like they were like Steven Yeun especially like was more like part of their group because they had a really good chemistry, all four of them. Yeah, it was interesting. I think that I saw a lot of people take so many little details in the trailers like and spin it into completely like movies on their own. Like, it was wild how deep people were going with dissecting.
It definitely, like, I think people also, when it's hard when you have someone who is so like the first two movies are so established. I think that built so much hype too, because a lot of people are like, oh, he did this, maybe it's going to have this theme, or it's going to have this element because he did this in Us. And, like, it's easy. I think they really, like, utilize that marketing well, too, of kind of, like, not really saying what it's about, but giving people enough to have conversations about it before any, like, real information about the movie came out. So, like, they were able to build a whole thing around the movie without actually telling you what the movie was about, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it really speaks to the power that his like name on a poster has now. You know, people just get really excited about it. I just found this out like a couple days. I didn't even know they were doing this, but their real world version of Jupiter's Claim is now a permanent part of Universal Studios Hollywood Studio Tour, which is pretty cool. Like, I would love to see that because that looks like a fun set.
That is really cool.
I would definitely like to see that. A list of movies that I saw that inspired this, they've been mentioning in interviews. I mean, this is important because like this is the kind of movies that I guess I've been compared to it. So like Jurassic Park, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, 2001, Space Odyssey, Jaws, King Kong, Signs, The Wizard of Oz, Alien. There's Holes references. So there's like a lot of, that was also something even before the movie came out. I saw a lot of like comparisons to those movies, which I think only further like made people really excited, because like those are huge movies. Like basically, I know he didn't because he's very knowledgeable, but it kind of does look like he looked up like top 10 movies of all time and kind of just listed those, because there's, except for like Signs and Holes, like pretty much like these are very popular movies. So it's pretty bold to be saying that like Jurassic Park in 2001, A Space Odyssey inspired your movie. Like, saying that is pretty crazy.
Well, yeah, and, like, I mean, any movie with UFOs, it's like, okay, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, let's go. It's kind of...
And I even saw a lot of E.T. in this. I don't know if they ever mentioned E.T., but, like, you can see a lot of Spielberg in, like, all of his movies. So, box office-wise, this is doing decently. Previews on Thursday were 6.4, Friday and Saturday both got about 13 million, and on Sunday they're estimating 10. So right now the weekend estimate for this movie is 44 million, which would be the second highest R-rated opening during COVID. Halloween Kills is the top with 49, which makes sense because Halloween Kills is like,
that's not
a big
too
name.
Bad.
Yeah, I think people were expecting a little more because Get Out only got 33 because it's an early first film, but Us got 71. So I think it is a harder sell for sure, the movie, than Us. Like, the trailer of Us is definitely an easier sell. So 44 for me for this movie feels pretty fair. And I think it will still do well in the coming weeks, because it's not like a Thor that everyone that wants to see it is going to see it the first week, you know? I think this is one that people will people will keep going to.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the, like, positive critical reviews will kind of put it on some people's minds, too. Like, maybe they're waiting to see the reception of it, or waiting to, like, I don't know. I definitely don't think it'll, like, drop off completely, though. Like, I think it'll stay consistent for the next couple weeks.
Right.
Especially because there's not a lot of, like, adult movies coming out in the next couple weeks.
Hey, Bullet Train, like, is coming out in 2 weeks. Come on.
Well, Bullet Train, but like...
I know what you're saying. It's a very... There's not any movies that are going to come out to really challenge it, because there's not as many big blockbuster, like, epic stories coming out anymore this summer.
Yeah, and, like, the other big movie that's being pushed right now is that, like, DC Pets cartoony movie.
Right, yeah.
So I think, and there's nothing else really coming out next weekend.
No,
so
yeah.
I think, like, this will be also big next weekend. Like, I don't think it's going to drop too much, but
yeah, and
it'll be interesting to see.
It's definitely someone that, too, like, people will like to discuss, I think, or, like, just talk about. And then you'll have a lot of word of mouth that way. I think it will do just fine. I don't think the 44 million people are like, oh man, it underperformed. Like, it's fine. All right. Yeah. We can just start talking about the movie now, though, in our non-spoiler fashion again. So going into this, I think we're pretty much, on the same page for his first two movies, right?
Yeah. I love Get Out and think it's very, like, an amazing movie.
I think Get Out is like one of the best movies of the last 10 years, like, hands down.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think Us, it's kind of funny because I haven't seen Us since I saw it in the theater when it first came out. And I gave it 4 stars when it first came out. And I think in hindsight now, I would probably give it less, like maybe 3.5 or 3.
Yeah.
Because I think it just hasn't held up the same for me as Get Out. I mean, obviously I haven't seen it since then, and I've had no interest in seeing it since then.
Yeah, it's a very different movie than Get Out in that way. Like, you see it once and you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's not to say it's bad. Like, I think after I watched Us, I was like really excited to see what Jordan Peele continues to do. Like,
yeah.
I think that was kind of what it was for me, was being like, okay, this isn't my favorite, but I think it's a great add to his, like, repertoire, and it'll be interesting to see what other, like, films he continues to make.
Yeah, I had only seen it the one time in the theater, and I think I gave it like a three. I would give it like a 3.5, I think, at first. And then I watched it again this weekend. I felt the same about. I liked it a little bit more because I think like the ending made more sense to me. That was my biggest thing. Like, it felt like a lot of information at the end in the first time I watched it, and it's like I just couldn't process it all. So I like it a bit more. It's like a light 4, maybe 3.5. You know, around that range for me. I agree. Sure. I think it's like a very what's the word I'm looking for? A very ambitious movie. And even though if it doesn't always like hit the mark every time, it's like, it was really exciting, I think, to watch like how well he was able to do with this ambitious story on only his second movie, you know? Because Get Out, while Get Out is incredible, Get Out is a very like simple premise in movie. It basically is like a Key and Peele sketch, but like just darker. Like it just it's longer and turns more into horror. But the setup is basically like a sketch setup, which is where he came from. So I think it makes sense why Get Out was so successful, because it does feel more like an extension of his sketch comedy work. But then Us is like a completely different thing. So I think it was not surprising that there was a few falters in Us. So it wasn't like I saw Us and I was like, oh man, this is a one hit wonder, you know? I think it makes sense why it wasn't perfect. It was a very ambitious movie to do for your second film. Like, that's crazy that he did that for a second movie.
Yeah. And I think for both of us, we've been excited about this one. Nope, for a while, probably since that first like day that it popped up on Twitter, and we both had it in our like 2020.
I think we both said it vision. In our like last our episode at the beginning of the year. That was just one of the movies we were really looking forward to, for sure, because it's like a really big original movie. And I mean, obviously, like we said, Get Out, we love. Us, we think is good, and like just really excited about his career. Everyone is, you know. It's like he was, I think, has been crowned recently like as one of the more modern contemporary directors that's like a quote-unquote master of their craft. I don't know if I really like agree with that, but that's like his reputation. So it's just exciting whenever you get a movie from someone like that. And Daniel Kaluuya is incredible, and Kiki Palmer is great, like great, and Steven Yeun. When those three, that was I think the most excited when I got really excited for it when they announced that casting, because that's a great like trio of actors that I love. So there's a lot going for it. When I went into this, I was very excited. Reviews, I only really saw one negative review before I went to, I saw this opening night. Most reviews I saw were like at least 4 stars, if not 5, like 4.5, 5. So going in, I was expecting like it to be really good, even though I didn't really fully know what it was about. Like, I'd seen all the trailers, but the trailers did a good job of like giving you pieces of it, but I really like didn't know what to expect going in story-wise. I think I definitely just expected it to be like a really like a smart horror thriller like his last two movies, you know. That's kind of what you expect, obviously.
Sure.
What about you? So we already talked about like your expectations of his first few movies, but like, because you saw it later than me, right? You saw a few more reactions.
Yeah, I saw the original once the like first embargo lifted. I was seeing a lot of critics that I follow raving about it, talking about how amazing the sound design was, how great the performances were. So it seemed like it was holding up to everything that I expected it to be. I think I follow maybe 2 people that gave it lower than 3 stars. And one of them had given it 2.5, and then someone I follow yesterday gave it 1.5. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, and I also, the first time, because I saw it in the first time, like, I still not, spoiler, not like super high in this movie. But I also told you, like, I didn't love it either. So I think you definitely, like, you went in, I think, more with the expectation that it could be bad, you know? Or like it might.
Yeah, I wouldn't really say that though. Like, because you know, two or three. Like, I just thought, oh, it'll be a 4-star movie. Like, yeah. I wasn't thinking it was gonna be a 5-star by any means. Even though I did see some 5 stars, Most of what I was seeing was like 4 and 4.5.
Right.
And so I was thinking, okay, well, I don't always agree with these critics. And so I'm expecting maybe like a 3.5, mm-hmm. 4-star. Was kind of, by the time I went in today is when I saw it. So this is Sunday.
Yep.
That was where I was at with like stuff I've seen.
Yeah, I was at least expecting a 4, I think. Like that was like my baseline. Because I don't know why, but I was like very confident that I would like it better than Us. Because I like Us, but like...
Interesting.
I think because... Us had the complaints about Us were like how the more messy stuff, you know, and it didn't all like the pacing and stuff. So I think I figured like that was the only thing about Us. So he probably really worked on that with this movie. That was like what I thought. I don't know. And I think I just like this kind of movie sometimes better than what Us is, which is more straightforward horror movie, I guess. But yeah, we both don't. I mean, this is funny because when I came out of the theater, even I saw it twice, and the second time I liked it a little bit more but didn't love it. I expected on this episode I was gonna have to be bad cop, and I think most other people, if I did this episode, would be the role I'd be playing. But I think this, I'm gonna be playing a little bit more of a good cop, not to use the cop references, but that's like the cliche, how do you say it, because you really didn't like it. So sorry to anyone who expected this to be a positive episode, unlike our last two. But yeah, I guess we're just kind of boring. I guess we're just sticks in the mud, you know?
I think we have a couple positive things to talk about.
I mean,
I
do, for sure.
I definitely, it's funny that, like, did you think I would like this after you watched it?
I literally had no clue because was just,
I just was
after
curious.
I watch a movie like this, when people are giving it 4.5, 5 stars, and I'm giving it like a 3, or 3.5. I was even feeling a 2.5 at some points. Like, I went back and forth a lot. I feel kind of like I'm being gaslit sometimes. So, like, I really didn't even know what... I had no idea. Like, I really don't know. Because I don't understand why people are giving this 5 stars. So, like... But I don't know if, like, there's so many little people that have felt the way I feel. So, I really, like... I expected you to probably feel similar, if not better, than me. I did not think you would like it less than me. So, that I was surprised at. But I didn't know if you would love it. Which obviously you didn't, so there you go.
Right.
Well, because the thing is, gotcha. I think, not to get too much into our thoughts, but a lot of it revolves around, like, if the movie works is the pacing, I think. Because if the pacing works for you, then I think you'll like the movie. And so, like, that's just such a, pacing is such an arbitrary thing in the length of movies and stuff. So, like, obviously it didn't work for you, so that's why you didn't like it. But I didn't know, like, if the pacing would work for you or not, so, yeah.
Yeah, and I generally like alien things.
That's true.
Too,
you are you are an alien fan. Yes,
I'm an alien, not like the alien movie fan.
Oh
like
yes,
alien as in the
Alien 3,
like actual aliens. Yeah,
aliens, 3. The second one. No, yeah, I know what you're saying. You like the extraterrestrial kind of like.
Yeah,
subplots.
Like I like X-Files.
Right.
I like stuff like that. So, I was. I was expecting good things, but we can get into some thoughts here, kind of about maybe where it fell short.
Where
for
did
us.
This, where did Nope go wrong? That could be maybe the title of the episode. Yeah, there's just so much to talk about with this movie. And I feel like though with spoilers, most of the spoilers in this movie are the plot elements, because I think like almost every plot element can be a spoiler. So we can just talk generally, I guess. Generally. I think this is an okay movie. I think it's easily his worst movie. I mean, maybe not easily, but like I would much prefer Us to this movie, even though I kind of rate them similarly. I think it's like the first time I said this in my review that a movie of his, like he's felt out of control of the story. Because I think Get Out feels so like controlled. And even Us, there are moments where it's like, a little like all a lot of going on, but I still felt like in Us, like he knew what was like, he had a handle on things, you know, and you feel like he's in control of the story, which I love when a director feels like they're in control. This is what, there's a lot of times in this movie, especially like second act around there, where it just felt like to me he just like the story got like too big for him, or like he just didn't know how to fully capture what he was trying to do, which makes sense for a third feature, you know, it's only his third feature film. So that was my, and I mean that, and that like gets into so many other things, but I guess like that's maybe my main issue is, it just felt like he wasn't up to the task of doing this movie. Yeah, that's what I felt like sometimes.
Yeah, I thought it was extremely boring.
It is very boring. It is boring. Is I've not seen anyone say boring, but I would agree. There's a lot of boring parts in the movie.
By the time like 40 minutes in, we were still establishing things.
Still first act, baby. Like, 40 minutes woof. In.
Like, man, I hope this midpoint really picks it up. Mm. And then I checked my phone at like an hour in.
Mistake right there. Yeah,
I mean, like, I was pretty up. I can usually keep track of where right. we are in a movie, but once I around an hour, I was like, oh good god, like this needs to like really pick
this
it up
a ramp
here
up.
Like
yeah.
I was really struggling, and even by the end, like, I just was so ready for it to be done, because when it gets to the climax, there's like most movies, the climax is about 35 mm-hmm. minutes, like the whole third act, and so there was about 40 to 35 minutes left of the movie once we got to mm-hmm. like the climax part, and even then I was like, oh, this just cannot end soon enough. It just felt
rave reviews. It couldn't end soon enough,
and I kept thinking, like, am I in the right movie?
Right, yeah.
Like,
I thought that a couple times.
I just
times
felt
the
like
first
I was
time.
Watching
yeah.
some other cut of it that was not the same cut every
Yeah, like the director's cut that's like a bad version. Yeah.
It has been a long, long, long time since I've like actually considered getting up and leaving a movie theater. Like, most of the time I'm like, I'm here. I drove here.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Whatever. I'll enjoy it. Mm. I almost left. I was so on the verge of it that and the only reason I didn't was because I was like, oh, if I leave, I'm not going to be able to talk about the end of this movie.
Right, yeah, which I think
Noah tonight.
The end is a pretty important part of the movie, because I feel like that might be some of the issue is it is, I think Us is a little like this too, but not as bad, where it's like so, he's most excited about the ending. I think you can easily tell from the movie. Like, that's the thing he's so
yeah.
excited to get to, but it feels like everything till the ending, like, I don't know, like, there's no build. The build to the ending is not good enough, so it just feels like a long hour and a half that's just to get us to the ending, and it's like, that's not how you make a movie. And so by the time it gets to the ending, it's really hard to get into it, because for me, and I think for you too, because it's like, it's an hour and a half of like slow build is really draining. And so it's like,
yeah.
it's hard to feel like really excited about like this big epic, like, climax that he's crafted, you know, because like, I don't know. It just feels like the journey wasn't worth it. And then it makes the ending worse
yeah.
because it's like, I don't care enough about it. And I'm not invested enough to be like, yeah, big, cool climax. And the second time I watched it, I felt it more. Like, I was like, okay, this is obviously a good climax, but it just doesn't work in the context of the movie for me. I just don't think it's exciting in the context.
I think by the time I got there, I was just done. Mm. I was over it. And so it was hard when the movie finally ended. I was like, great, can get up and go home.
Right.
Yeah, I think, without, like, spoiling, I think the performances were good,
yeah.
but I also think that he underutilized the talent that he had.
Yes, 100%.
Because
yeah.
he has, like, I mean, Daniel Kaluuya is, like, one of the greatest actors mm. of the last,
yeah,
like,
he does so much with this role that I'm like, wow, I'm glad, I can't believe, like, anyone else would have just phoned this in, because, like, he has
yeah,
very
but it's
little
like,
to work with.
I felt like there was so, like, he could have been so much more.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I think he still did an incredible job, but the whole time I just was thinking, like, oh, man, if they had, like, done this, mm. like, I felt like he was pushing the box of his character, but he just couldn't break out of the edges
yeah,
of it.
Definitely.
And I felt the same about the others. I think Kiki Palmer was really, really good. I think she, obviously, people are raving about her just in general right now.
Mm, love it.
And then I think,
it's
like,
great, it's a great
Steven Yeun did a good job. I think the guy who played the tech guy, I thought he was really good too. So I felt like everyone that kind of like had the roles in it were good. Mm-hmm. I just was like, I wish these characters were written better.
The dialogue is really bad.
See,
like the dialogue is incredibly flat, which is a real killer.
If you cast actors that can do more, your characters should be better. But if you're casting actors that are like not the very, very top actors of Hollywood right now, sure, maybe this is the type of character you can have if you're having maybe some other A-list actor who's not as good, like Chris Hemsworth, you know? Not that he would ever be
bringing
this movie,
Chris Hemsworth,
you know what I mean?
Back
like,
into it, yeah.
Like a character, an actor who is an actor that people like, but isn't giving Oscar.
It's basically a lot of the event, a lot of the Marvel actors. We can just
like Daniel Kaluuya, Oscar winner, is giving an Oscar performance all the time, and I think Steven Yeun even is like constantly at the top of his game.
Yeah, Steven Yeun is definitely giving what could have been a supporting actor performance, for sure.
Yeah, and if you're having these actors and actresses, I think Kiki Palmer is getting up there too at top of her game. It's like, give them characters that are top of the game characters. Mm. Like, give them top of the game writing. If you're going to cast these absolutely incredible, like, people in them and the incredible talent, then everything else in the movie should also meet the talent. Like, it should be up to that par, in my opinion. And I think that's one issue I had is, like, you have these... I mean, the cinematography looked good. You have an absolutely incredible score as well by Michael Abels, who we're a fan of. And it's like, if you're going to have these other elements that are really, really good, your story has got to be there too. And like the dialogue's got to be there and the character's got to be there. And I think that's the biggest thing where it just like totally fell flat for me.
Yeah, I guess it's like his first two movies really only had two characters that he had to flesh out. Like one character each. So he's only had two. So like, Daniel Kaluuya's character in Get Out is like basically the only character, like a very clear main character, and everything else is to support him, I guess. Sure. And then in Get Out, even though it's a family story, everyone else in the family besides the mom is just comedic relief, really. I think the son a little bit, you know, he plays some role, but it's really like about her. So in this movie, it's like, again, maybe it's just like, it feels like he just doesn't quite understand, or like he hasn't gotten to the point where he can control that yet and like figure out how to do that for arguably four actors, probably, you know, because there's like four big roles in this movie, maybe even five if you want to count the cinematographer. So like, I just don't think that's just like a lot to go from like one character per movie to four to five that you have to make the audience care about is a lot. And so that really hurts it, because with the pacing, like, it's so many stops and starts in the story. So in the stops, like, there's nothing to really grab onto because it just feels so boring. And it's like, I don't really like the characters are sometimes funny, but they're not really emotionally, I'm not emotionally invested really in these characters. So I'm just kind of watching them banter, and the banter is really not great all the time. And then there's like a little bit of a show, like, oh, a little scary thing. Oh, no. And never mind. And like, that's how it feels like until the last act. Like, it's like a lot like, like stop. And then it's like really just like hard to get into the groove of the movie because of that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I have anything else.
Yeah.
Spoiler-free.
Also positively, I do like some things about the movie. I think like, this is his best he's ever done at weaving themes into his movies that don't feel like, what's the word of like the new horror, like elevated
like
horror,
a social commentary,
yeah, like elevated almost. Horror, because like he didn't start elevated horror, but he really popularized it with Get Out, you know. But I think at this point, elevated horror is definitely a lot more played out, and people are a lot less here for it. I can still hang with it sometimes, but I think this is the best he's done at making a movie that is just like a movie and is like a blockbuster, like it's just a story. But there are a lot of themes woven through the movie that are like deeper than most of the themes that directors will put in their movies. There's a, I actually, I won't get into anything because again, there's a lot of like things in this movie that could be spoilers, but that's a one big broad thing I really liked, is I think there's a lot of really interesting things he's trying to touch on, and they're well woven through the movie, so they don't feel like, oh, this is about capitalism and he's a metaphor for this and she's a metaphor for this. Like, it just feels like natural, like, ideas. Yeah, I don't, but that's one thing where I was like, I saw that progression for sure, where he's definitely gotten better at that. Then with us can sometimes feel too, like, heavy-handed, I think.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point.
The score. I thought the score was good.
Yeah, yeah. I love Michael Abels. Obviously, he's been working with Jordan Peele, so they have a good connection at this point, I think, in what, you know, each other wants and how to do the different scores and stuff. And I think that he did a really good job. There were times that was really one of the main things that stood out to me in the movie, like in specific scenes. I was like, oh, the scene is boring, but the music is so good.
And it's a lot different than what his other scores. Like, it's a lot more like orchestral and like light at the times. It's an interesting, I think it's like one of the better scores of the year for sure. Like, and maybe it was that thing, like you're saying, like there's so much downtime that I was like, okay, I guess I'll just listen to the score for the next couple scenes. But I think the score was good. I liked it. And it fits with the movie really well.
Yeah, well, do you want to take a quick ad break and get into some spoiler thoughts?
Sure thing, yeah. Let's go to an ad break. And then if you haven't watched the movie, just leave and then come back after you've seen it.
And we're back.
This is just a little overwhelming to think about what are we going to talk about in this segment, because there's just so many things that we could talk about. Well, I guess we can just start with the themes, you know, because I think the themes then will bring us to a lot of things. So what did you think about, like, the thematic elements of the story?
I don't know. It's hard to, like...
It is tough.
Narrow it down. Yeah, I think it's interesting when you take, like, family dynamics and you kind of have... I think that's probably one of my favorite themes in it, is sort of this dynamic where the son clearly has this kind of more embedded relationship with the farm and the horses and the dad... And she kind of went off and did her thing. Mm. And she has this connection with her brother, but not in it with the farm or the dad in the same way that he did.
Those are some funny lines when she was like, I'm going to go work. And she was like, no, all right, bye. Those are funny.
Yeah. And I think that was probably the most interesting thing to me in the movie, was kind of their relationship and how he, like, clearly wanted to be like his dad but didn't have a lot of the, like, charisma that she has, and that she is the one that was more like the dad but was never given the opportunity to do any of the things he was. And so I think that was really interesting, and I think something that a lot of families who have family businesses, like, you see stuff like that happening a lot. And yeah, that was one theme that I did. Obviously, that's one of the more, like, in the forefront themes.
I think it's unexplored, though, for sure. Like, I agree. I really liked that, and I wish that was more integrated into the rest of the movie.
Well, because I think, like, at the end, especially because so much of the climax in that final scene hinges on their communication with each other, and them kind of, like, in that moment where he's like, I'm going to ride this way and I'm going to try to save her. But she's like, thinking that she can't leave him. And I think I wish they would have built up their relationship a little bit more, because it was kind of hard to tell, you know, maybe at the beginning that he maybe had some hard feelings against her.
Right.
But then it was kind of like, oh, but he actually really does care about her. And so I just wish that, like, more would have gone into that. Or maybe we could have had a little bit more backstory beyond the, like, you know, because I thought that scene with them was really good.
Yeah, their acting was great too, I think, in that scene.
Yeah, where she was like, I, you know, you were the one that looked up to me, at me. Dad never looked at me. Mm. And like that dialogue I thought was good. And I think that was really interesting. And then it kind of just like, I don't know, I feel like that was so also surface level at the same time. Like, maybe I'm even reading more into it than actually there.
Because that's like the only moment of character development or like insight we really get into them. Like, he doesn't really give anything else. Yeah, and I think after that.
Well, because then when it gets to that final scene where they're kind of both on the opposite sides of this alien, I wish that I was more invested in that moment. Like, I wish there was more that got me to be like, oh man, like one of them has to die. Like, cause that's basically what it is like one of them's gonna die so the other can live, sort of.
Except that's they the risk both that's live. Being.
They both live, but that's the risk that's no, being I understand. Given.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I wish I would have felt more compelled to feel strongly about it. Mm. Like, I was sitting there thinking, I wish I cared more about something here. Yeah. But I don't care. And so that's something that is a theme that I appreciated, but I thought was extremely underdeveloped in the way that the script was written or the way that their characters were developed throughout the story.
Yeah. Well, I think an issue, too, is like the character motivations a lot of times don't make sense because the characters are more written to what the story wants to do rather than what they would like them leading the story. Like, it feels like he, like I said, like he's trying to lead us to this final act, and a lot of what the characters do is just like just to get us there. But I know even though I understand like the idea of wanting to like cement the family legacy and like make up for like what they feel like they lost with their great-great-great-grandfather, like in him, his erasure, in that, and also just like the idea of spectacle and like all those themes, it still just felt like I didn't understand why they were so obsessed with getting this shot. Like, I understand that the theme is that we're humans are obsessed with spectacle and like capitalizing on spectacle and that kind of thing, but it just, I didn't feel like that's what the characters were feeling, at least our main characters. I think Steven Yeun, his story worked for that theme, but with like Daniel Kaluuya, like they just he seemed too smart for like wanting to go back to the house. I'm like, why? Like, I understand you want this Oprah shot, but like, really, do you really want it that bad? And that's one thing where it's like, when you get to that scene at the end that's supposed to be so emotional, at that point it feels like they're not as much characters at that, like, because you've seen them do so many things that just feels like they're like doesn't feel real. And so that's supposed to be a real moment, and it's like, but I just don't feel like these are real characters anymore. Because, like, they just seem like plot devices.
Yeah, it's very much a plot-driven movie and not character-driven.
Right.
I think, because I think when he went to go get the horse from the Jupiter's whatever it's called.
Planet. It's not planet, but yeah, I know. The theme park. The theme park.
Yeah, the theme park. So when he went and, like, that to me felt like the most character to me of him being like, I need to save my horse. And so he was kind of like being like, I need to go back. And I can understand the other development more if he's like, my horses are there. Because he kept saying like, I've got mouths to feed. But it was like, I don't know. I wish it would have been more about how, because it's clear that he obviously stakes his whole life on this farm. Mm. Like, he doesn't have anything else. But I felt like they didn't emphasize that enough in the sense of him needing to get this alien captured for this video so that he could continue that relationship he has with the farm.
That's a good point.
And that is all inferred. Like, that is not something that they actually really showed me.
Yeah, they just tell you a lot of stuff like, I really want to do this, or like, this is our moment, but like, they don't show me why he wants it.
Yeah, and I have to think into it to get those things out of it. Like, I have to really think about it to understand his motivation, where I feel like it should have been more clear for something that hinges on such a major, like, that's such a hinge for the plot that you would think they would try to make it a little bit more clear that this is why their motivations are the way they are.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think, well, the most important thing in horror movies is usually motivations of the characters need to be clear so the audience can believe the horror. And so a lot of times the motivations in this movie just don't feel believable, so the horror feels like not as scary, I guess, because it just feels dumb. I think we should probably address the monkey in the room, because that is an interesting, I think that's like, we can talk about if it works or not, whatever, but I think that is, that element of the story is not any, something like any other director would have done. So like, that is the thing that makes it feel like this is like, obviously he's trying to do something with this movie, because that's like a very bold choice to like integrate that plot into like, basically it feels like unconnected, you know, so you really have to think about it, I guess, to get the connection. But what did you think about that, because like, and how integrated it was, because it really was like not just that one segment, like it opens with that, so it's obviously very like, he thought it was very important, I guess, to the story.
Yeah, I wish that the opening wouldn't have included the like included as much of the monkey or shown the monkey as much.
That's a good point, yeah. Or showed the monkey, because it shows the monkey looking at him, which is kind of why, but like, so if I already know he's going to see him, you know, in the, when it gets to the full scene. So it's like, it shows a little
much. Yeah, and I wish that that would have been, because I think that scene, the scene with the monkey, mm-hmm. like the full scene, is very good.
Yeah.
And I wish that it would have been more shocking. Rather than, because like, I wish it would have maybe just been the monkey hitting the foot or the screaming. I don't know. Like, I just wish there would have been.
Yeah, know, maybe just the sound of the monkey screaming. And so like, we know there's a monkey, and then we hear Jupe talk about it in the office, and then, but we have to wait for like an hour to actually see the scene.
Yeah, and you can connect it with like him hitting the shoe, and then they show the shoe hanging on the wall. I think like kind of elements like that where it's more like, I don't know, like it lets the viewer build more in their mind about what happened before you see the scene. And I wish that that would have been the case, because I think it would have made that scene more punchy than it is, for sure. I do think it is a good scene, though. I think that kid, whatever his name is.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Who played young Jupe. He did a very good job. And I think that scene, yeah, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, just the scene itself, yeah, I love, that's like my favorite scene in the movie. That was the most into the movie I felt, for sure. And it's, you know that he did a good job because you know that Jupe is gonna live, you know, and he's like fine, but even like I was still like scared for him, you know. And they do a great job of giving you the point of view under the table and like the feeling like, oh my gosh, is he gonna see me, like am I hiding well enough. Like that is like master class shit. Like that is so cool. I love that scene. And then like it's so, and the edge ends with like him getting shot too. Like it just, that scene itself, I love that scene, and the whole, like, it's just such an interesting concept too. And it, we'll talk a little bit about more what it means, but yeah.
Yeah. I think, and that's the only scene that I felt, even compared to the climax, that there was risk involved.
I agree. Yeah.
And like you said, like, even though we knew the kid survived, like for some reason I felt more attached to that scene and the suspense in that scene than I did with literally any of the last few minutes.
Yeah, I think it's really about the point of view under the table. That was like a genius move, because that like just it gets you right in the character's shoes, and it allows you to bypass some of the character development that you need to care about the kid, because like you feel like you are the kid, you know. So it's like a smart way of doing that. But the thing about that whole thing, and even the whole character of Jupe, I guess, in general, it feels like, well, I understand it's about like how the monkey and like the man versus nature thing, and profiting off of nature and trying to control nature, and then nature gets out of hand, and then like all that as a kid, and then he's making the same mistakes with his own theme park by trying to control nature and profit off of it and like do all of that. So And that's kind of what the whole movie really is about. A lot of the movie is about. And it's weird because I love the way that shows the themes. And I think that it's like the most interesting part of the movie. But if this movie is about the OJ and Emerald, like their farm, and like that's like the main story, I think they should have really just not done the Jupe stuff. Because even as much as I love it, like it's my favorite thing in the movie, I think it takes away, it hurts the pacing too much for what it adds. Like, it doesn't add enough to warrant how much of the movie it takes and like how much it takes away from the other story, the main story. So that's like my dilemma.
When they bring in the scenes of the director as well, they're showing him cutting together the animals, clips of animals. Which I think connects all the themes, but I feel the same way that I felt like it pulled me out of the main storyline to like pretty much try to make all these things interconnect, and it just messed up the pacing, because that was how I felt about those scenes with the director, which I think could have been more interesting if somehow those kind of themes were intertwined in a different way. I don't know. I just think it felt too discombobulated to have these other things kind of make you think or care about things, and have maybe, especially with Jupe's storyline, have you care more about that storyline than OJ and Emerald's storyline. That's a problem, because if you're supposed to be caring about...
Yeah, I cared so much more about Jupe than I cared about them. And he's like a terrible person, but like I cared more about his character in like...
Because they gave us depth to it, whereas they didn't give us depth to the other.
Well, it's interesting because Get Out does that, where it shows him as a kid, you know, because his mom gets killed, and like, but he shows him like in his house watching TV, like that's a big scene. So it does a similar thing in this, where Jupe, it brings you back to his childhood, to a traumatic moment. So it's like he knows how to do it, like he did the same thing and it works again. But like, it's funny because it's like the third character, like it's the third character down. It's not the two characters that we really need to care about. And so it makes...
Well, and I would say even Angel takes more priority too.
Yeah, like, definitely. But then he's like only comedic relief though, which kind of sucks too.
Yeah, because I thought his character was pretty interesting.
Mm. Why did they bring Barbie Ferreira for like one scene also? Like,
that's what I was wondering.
She's like, she's high up on the casting. Like, they list her so early on in the early credits.
Yeah, and she was only in like, maybe they cut some of her stuff out.
They must have. I mean, he said there was like a 3 hour, 30, 40 minute cut, you know? So it's like, she probably was in it more.
Well, and I thought that Angel's character was interesting, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, but also in the sense of like his disillusionment with like the working job and with like capitalism, and him having this other outlet of something that, even though it's dangerous and like crazy, he would much rather spend his time with these strangers chasing these UFOs than doing his job. And I think that is kind of an interesting plot, and I'm probably like reading more into that than was actually like meant to be there. Maybe, I don't know.
That's what's hard with this movie. It's like, am I reading too much into it, or am I not? Like, I don't know. Who cares?
I wish that is something, again, that like I feel like is they just didn't explore it enough. And like, obviously, they don't have time to explore everything.
Well, they have 2 hours, 11 minutes. They should have time to explore some things.
If you have
two hours,
you can do something else to give them more depth. Because that scene with him and Emerald, where it's raining blood down on them, basically, where the thing's like spitting blood. Then, like, I didn't really have as much stakes in them. I was like, I mean, it's the whole thing. We're like, they're cowering, and you're like, oh my gosh. But I was like, I don't really care if this thing eats them right now. And so I just like, I don't know. I think my main thing is I like the pacing is off, but also in just, I think my main issue with that is that they chose to show some things and not other things. So it changed the way that it's paced for certain characters. And it's just like, I don't know. I think overall it is just not good. Yeah. And it just, it's like, it's something I think that frustrates me because it could be.
Yeah.
good.
Well, because talking
right
about it,
there.
It sounds like this is the best movie ever. I gotta like talking, but then we watch it and it's like, this is not as good as
like,
I thought.
People are probably listening to me talking about this and analyzing it and being like, oh, so you didn't, but like I gave it 1 star.
Like watching it is not fun. I it's fun for me in some parts. I give it 7 out of 10. It's like a 6-7. But like watching it is so much worse of an experience than it should be. Like it should be like such an amazing movie. I think if he had done it right, it could have been his best. Like it could be almost like just as good as Get Out if he had really played it all the way he
And maybe it's just the editing.
Interesting.
Maybe it's just the editing. I don't know.
The title cards.
I think some of the dialogue is pretty.
The title
bad.
Cards are a big,
the title
a
cards
big miss.
Were bad.
That's
a big.
Well,
miss.
Well, it doesn't even make like the title cards don't even make sense. Half of them aren't even related to like the horse they're talking about, or they're related to it for like a second. Like the title cards just seem like they were added last minute, where it's like, oh, this will, well, because like you said, there's so it's jumping back and forth so much. So it feels like the title cards were more added to help the editing rather than like, I don't think they
sure.
were, it doesn't feel like they were written in the script originally. It feels like that was something they added afterwards. Like, and it feels in that way, like just kind of cheap because it's like, oh, our story is kind of discombobulated. So we have to try to use this chapter setup, but it still doesn't really help it very much.
Yeah. And another example, which was something you texted me, was the TMZ character.
Oh, yeah. What a, like, a
that,
stupidly
I
written
don't,
character.
I really don't understand why they included that. Because I'm kind of like, that really ruined, like, because I kind of was feeling the energy. Like, not a lot. I wasn't completely sold, but I was like,
it
okay, I see
a,
what they're
finally
doing
a
here.
I can
this
finally have fun
exciting.
With this movie, you know, enjoy the rest.
Yeah, like, I was like, okay, maybe these last 30 minutes will really seal the deal for me.
Well, I kept thinking that, like, there's going to be a big twist. There wasn't, but that's what I
was hoping. Yeah, and I just thought that really killed the momentum.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it killed the whole vibe of that scene. And I didn't understand a lot. Like, I just felt like there wasn't enough suspense in that. Like, it was kind of just like, oh, OJ's riding the horse down to him. Don't
well,
do it,
yeah,
OJ.
There's so much stop and start.
But it was like, where is the suspense? Like, why aren't they, like, freaking out? Why aren't they, like, I don't know, more worked up? Like, I just felt like so much of that. And maybe this was editing again. I don't know. Or what takes they chose
to
use.
Yeah, his dialogue was terrible. Really bad.
But I just felt like that whole thing was so sloppy.
Yes.
Like, it just was very not cut together well. It really jumped back and forth from the characters in weird ways. And I felt like instead of them being a team taking on this alien, it just was like, I don't know, she was here watching the cameras that are going to go out anyway.
Now, what did she
so
do? Why was she watching
was she
the cameras?
Serving?
She was just
I don't know, I just,
sitting around.
It felt so silly to me,
just
all of it.
Well, the whole ending feels really just like stop and start because like they get the shot with their big elaborate setup, which is like it definitely took a lot of very creative like setup for that with like the men and like figuring out that that's the end of the electrical field, like that was really cool. But so they get the shot and then this guy's like, oh, I need the golden lighting, and then he goes and then he gets sucked up, and then Angel kind of gets sucked up, but he's wrapping all of this barbed wire around him.
It
doesn't flow. It doesn't work. Like, it's too
what
much.
What was... I don't know if you know this, because I don't know this.
I'll see.
What was their original plan? Like,
I
what
think
was the original...
I think it was supposed
like,
to just
how
stop
are they-
at the point where... because he gets it. He flies the flags back, right? And it scares it off. And then he goes away. I think that was the end of the plan, because they got it on the camera.
Well, I thought that they were going to, like, try to kill it.
No,
like,
they just
the
wanted the shot.
That impression that I was under was when they talked about, like, all the flags and stuff and eating the horse. They were like, oh, that really, like, fucked it up. and like it really didn't like that. And so I was like, oh, so they're gonna make him eat something. Mm-hmm. Like that was what I thought the original plan was for them to do all this, make him eat something, he dies, but they also get the shot in the process.
No, yeah.
That was what I was thinking.
Which is what happened in the end, actually. But no, I think
it is what happened, but that wasn't part of the plan. So then I was like, what was the plan? So they were just gonna get the shot and then leave the farm?
Yeah, that was the plan. Because then they would get famous off the shot, I guess. That's what they wanted. Which, yeah.
That's even worse. That is makes it so much worse.
Well, because, yeah, like the idea is, like, again, the obsession with trying to, like, and you can't look at it, so it's, like, this big spectacle, but it's, like, but you want to, like, but you have to look at it, so it's, like, that idea. And then the TMZ guy is obsessed with getting the shot, and then the cinematographer is obsessed with getting the perfect shot, and, like, he dies because, like, he just cares about the shot. But that actually was the only part where the themes felt less integrated, because it feels like, again, the characters are just serving the purpose of the themes. Like, don't you, he's saying to you, like, don't you understand we're all too obsessed with spectacle and getting this stuff on film and stuff, but like that doesn't, it does still doesn't feel real what they're doing. Like, it doesn't feel like the TMZ guy would actually act like this when he's dying and his last words are like, get the camera. Like, that just seems like he said that because they want, that's what the theme of the movie is, you know? And it seems like the cinematographer wanted to get the shot, not because he really cared about getting the perfect shot, but like because the theme of the movie was like he was supposed to serve that thematic purpose. And then the ending is like they kill the thing, which seems like completely against the theme of the movie at sometimes, which is like isn't I thought like he was kind of condemning us trying to tame nature, you know? And that's why Steve Jupe died, because that's like his fatal flaw. But then, like, is it supposed to be a happy ending because they killed it, or is it not a happy ending? Because, like, I thought that was bad, that we didn't want to control it. But I don't know. That was also weird to me.
I don't know. I think it's just very, very messy.
Yeah.
I think there's so much that, on the surface, sounds really good and sounds very appealing. Appealing.
It sounds like it was the key to the movie.
But I just think the execution, which is something that you've said, just the way that it all comes together doesn't match with what it should have been or how everything, all the pieces are.
Yeah.
I think all the pieces are there. I just think all the finality of how the pieces fit together, not good. I think that is where it really flops.
Yeah, well, like I said at the beginning, I think the idea is there, like you said, and the pieces are there. But like, it feels like the first time where he just wasn't up to the task of like telling the story. Because like, it is such, I mean, I'm not saying that I would know how to tell the story either. This is a really complicated idea that he's trying to convey. But it feels, that's what it felt like to me, like, cause the first two movies, like I said, it felt very controlled. And this felt like he just didn't 100% know how to do it, you know? And it wasn't like, yeah. And if, again, it feels like a third feature where it's like, still has a lot of stuff to learn.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I don't think it like, I mean, I think it's pretty bad, but like, I think it feels like a first draft to me. It feels like a movie that's not quite done yet, which I think is one of my issues, is I think if it had maybe hit the editing floor again and maybe some
post-production like reshoots for some of those lines.
Yeah, I think
added
that
another scene about
been
emotional development scene. Yeah.
Better for me, but I think just overall it really missed the very clearly missed the mark for me. And
yeah.
I think it's a bad movie, and I don't understand why so many people are praising it so highly. I could understand why people would rate it what you rated it. So I could see people saying, you know, it's not amazing. I would say it's a 3, 3.5. Good movie. Can't wait to see what else he does.
Yeah. It definitely feels like a stepping stone, you know?
Yeah, but 5 stars for this?
This is why I'm
saying
so,
it's the best movie like, of the year.
Is he gonna think this is a good movie now? Like, I mean, like, because that's what it is. Like, because he has, I really hope that he looks at like some negative reviews too. I mean,
I'm curious if people would feel differently if it was made by someone different.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that where it's like these people, they're only doing it because it's Jordan Peele, but like, I think that does have, like, when you go into it, you think it's automatically going to be better than maybe it is.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at a director, that any director that has some kind of renown surrounding them, and they've had two great movies, or a lot of people would say they're great movies, then you would expect the third one to be great, and so maybe it's not as great as you think as it should have been, but you're like, oh, well, it's Jordan Peele, so it was great.
Mm.
And I think that maybe contributes a little bit. I wouldn't say it completely contributes, but I think it definitely is a factor into it. I'm curious if he, obviously a lot of people have been comparing him to Shyamalan and the way that he,
this feels kind of like a Shyamalan thing, because like this feels like a very messy movie that's too obsessed with the ending. So maybe it is.
Yeah,
a Shyamalan.
And I think I'm curious to see, because I do think that Shyamalan, whether or not people think he fell off, I don't know.
I haven't seen enough of his movies. Yeah.
But I do think that, like, it seems like he is still enjoying what he's making, and I hope that Jordan Peele can sort of continue in that trajectory. I worry that people will hail him as, you know, oh my gosh, he had the best three movie run of all time.
Well, that's what people were saying on a Facebook group I'm in, like, and they were like, who had the better three movie run? Damien Chazelle, Jordan Peele, or Robert Eggers? I'm like, Jordan Peele, like, he had one amazing movie, and then one pretty good movie, and now this. Like, I just don't think
that this should be comparable. And I think now it's so much harder in 2022 to make a bad movie, and can, like, I think people like Scorsese and Spielberg, they have so many, like, movies in their career that are not great.
Yeah, they're just awful.
But they're hailed as, I mean, Spielberg is hailed as one of the greatest directors of all time.
Right.
And he has some terrible movies. And I think it's just fair to be like, some directors just have bad movies in their filmography, and that's fine. And for me, that I'm not looking at this and thinking, oh, man, Jordan Peele is going to suck from now on. I'm still very excited to see what he continues to make and produce and all that. Mm-hmm. But I just think that this is just not one of his better movies. And I think he can only go up from here, is my opinion.
Well, I think, with movies now, there's so much information and so many people talking about stuff. And, like, so many people are, like, trying to create narratives around people and things rather than have narratives just develop naturally. So it feels like it's just like, no, there's so few directors that have made three masterpieces for their first three movies. Like, so it's like, I just feel like you have to just look at, like, other directors, like you said, like Spielberg, and people have compared this movie to a Spielbergian kind of film. But like, he has so many bad movies, but like, you still only remember the good ones because that's how it works. So it's like, this is such, that's what it's like, you have to, like, even though this is not a good movie, like, some people just, you know, they have off movies, and that's all good.
And I will say, I'm glad that Peele is getting the opportunity to continue to make bad art.
I agree.
Like, either way, I think a lot of times in our industry, you know, we talked about this with Wes Anderson a little bit, too, is, like, an artist might make something that just really doesn't hit. I mean, obviously, this movie hits for a lot of people, so I don't know that it's exactly the same. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm glad that I know, looking forward, that he's still going to have an incredible career, and he's still being given great opportunities. And so I hope that, like, that continues and that, like, I don't know.
Yeah. My final thing I just wanted to say, because I thought of this when I watched it the second time. I was like, do you think, I mean, obviously, you wouldn't have fixed it because it's not a great, like, it just didn't work up until that point. But do you think maybe this movie would have a better ending if, you know how they show, I think that's the last shot, it shows, like, the picture that they got, the picture of the creature, the alien, you know, the Polaroid. Do you think this might have been a better ending if it was kind of like an Inception ending where, like, you see the picture start to fade in, but then you don't know if they got the shot or not. And that's like kind of like Inception. You don't know if he's in the dream or not. So I feel like that was a missed opportunity because it's like that could have been a really and that's something people could have were talking about. Like that's why Inception did so well, because it's like, do you think he's in the dream or do you think he's not in the dream? And they like I just think that would have been and it,
that's a great point.
And it would have maybe made it less clear that the ending is a victory, because like, did they actually succeed in their mission, you know? And like, is this was this worth it? I think that might have made it better, the ambiguousness of that.
Yeah, I agree.
It's such an easy edit because they could just like they could just cut it a few seconds shorter and it is the same movie. Well, it has the ending. I was just thinking about that, like, wow, it would be better if like this wasn't such a triumphant ending and there was a little bit left on the table, because I think
that would make
me like it more. You know, maybe I'll just think that that's the ending. I can just pretend.
Well, and that is a problem that I had with Us, was I wish that it was a little more ambiguous. That was always one of my bigger issues with that movie in the climax, is that I felt like everything was explained to me, and there wasn't a lot left up to be like, ooh, I wonder about this, or to kind of theorize about certain things. And I think that that's something that, I don't know, maybe he hasn't learned how to do yet. Maybe he is more just like, oh, I just want to tell the viewers how it ends instead of like wanting to leave added suspense.
It's weird because there's parts of the movie where it's like he definitely is very like trustworthy of his audience to put them through like at least 40 minutes of exposition. Like that's a pretty big ask. So it's like it's weird that there's some other parts where it's just like he's not maybe incapable of like leaving that part up to interpretation or like his audience. I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, so our question of the week is based on them turning the Jupiter's claim into a actual area at Universal. What movie set would you like to see turned into a theme park attraction?
Oh, this is so hard. I mean, because the sky's the limit, so don't have to think realistically.
My immediate two thoughts were Paddington 2.
Wow.
Maybe like the house would be cute. Like you get to go into Paddington's attic room. Like maybe it's like a walkthrough. Like you go to the room. You also get the like prison from Paddington 2, the antique shop. I feel like there's a lot of good options. And my second thought is Lava Springs from High School Musical 2.
Wow, that would be so dope. Going golf. I can't even golf, but I would definitely golf there. You know, I would swing a club. Yeah, I think Grand Budapest Hotel would be cool to go to that hotel.
Wow, that would be incredible. Imagine.
So cool. Trying to think of like other movies that I like. I don't know. That would be fun. I'm sure there's others that I'm just not thinking of. Maybe I'll think of them next episode when we read everyone else's answers.
Sure.
I'm excited to see what people come up with, because there's a, like, I mean, really the sky's the limit, like we said. Like, think of a movie you really like that has cool sets, and where would you want to visit it, you know?
You know, it could be something obscure as well, so just let us know.
Yes, yes. All right, yeah, so you can answer that question of the week on our social media. We'll ask the question Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. If you're listening on Spotify, you can answer with the question answer feature on there. You can email it us. Everything is in the show notes, so check it out. Answer the question, and we'll read it in our next episode, which is after a run of 3 negative reviews, or somewhat negative in some cases. We have what will most definitely not be a negative episode.
Definitely not.
Which will be the
third episode in our Summer of Wes series.
Yay!
Where we will be talking about my 3 favorite Wes Anderson films.
Yeah, this is the 3 movie run we should be talking about. Not Get Out, Us, and Nope. This is Fantastic Mr. Fox, Moonrise Kingdom, and The Grand Budapest Hotel. I don't know if they're my 3 favorite. They might be my 2 of my favorites, and then 1 is like a little lower. I don't know. But yeah, these are like 3 of his best movies. And there's a lot to talk about too, in terms of how he got here and like how his career evolved from the more grounded work to some like the more Dollhouse stuff. Really interesting. So yeah, I'm excited.
I'm very excited
to discuss, and it would be nice to be positive because I really have very little negative things to say about any three of those movies.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, so get looking for that next Tuesday, which is whenever, that's all when we always drop our episodes on Tuesday.
Yep.
That's when it happens.
Well, until next time, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Noah.
And we're your second-hand film critics.